Good morning, Tara heads. Good morning, Upstate. Jim Bohannon here in for Tara today and tomorrow. I think she may be off Wednesday, but I'll not be doing it because they will have learned their lesson by that time, I suppose. 7 minutes now past 6 a.m. and a good Monday morning to you, Upstate, here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, of course, is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And don't know if you caught it this morning, but of course the president has been observing the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, the war to end all wars, and he was forced to do so in the company of the French President Emmanuel Macron, who, of course, is the host president. And this was supposed to be a celebration of allies, a celebration of the victory of freedom. It was supposed to be a number of things. Now, just a few weeks ago, here's a quote. This is what President Trump said. You know, they have a word. It sort of became old-fashioned. It's called nationalist. And I said, really, we're not supposed to use that word? You know what I am? I'm a nationalist, okay? I'm a nationalist, unquote, President Trump just a few weeks ago. No big surprise to anyone out there, but I note it in case there was any doubt as to the purpose of the remarks made by the French president as the president of the United States sat there and had to listen to him. And I quote, patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Already you're scratching your heads. Patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism by saying our interests first, who cares about the others? We erase what a nation holds dearest and what gives it life, what makes it grace and what is essential, its moral values, unquote. All of that from the French president, aside from the fact that the man obviously has the grace and elegance of a rabid porcupine and is a lousy host, but clearly he was trying to make a point, make a point. Well, let's examine that point, and we'll not spend all morning on this. We'll be looking at Florida and a few other issues as well, because the first thing that I have to say about this is, who cares? And I bring it up because a lot of people probably will. This will be more ammunition for those who oppose the president and who oppose the conservative viewpoint. So it's worth, therefore, at least a passing mention. Patriotism is the exact, let's analyze just what the French president Emmanuel Macron said here. Patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Really? Stop and think about that. If you look it up on Google, the definition of nationalism is patriotic feelings, principles, or efforts. The first synonym that means the same meaning is as not the opposite listed for nationalism, literally patriotism. And that from the globalists at Google, I might add. So for openers, the president of France is not very bright. Again, not a major newsflash, I suppose. But when he states this as a principle at a gathering that is supposed to be a basis for some unity and celebration of common cause and freedom, this would be very much akin to inviting a friend over to your house, and before you serve them their salad, you take the cream pie and you mash it into their face. That's the equivalent level of grace. That was one of the words that Macron used, which is unfortunate in view of the fact he seems to have none whatsoever. But then we go to this. Nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism by saying, and a quote within the quote, our interests first, who cares about the others, unquote. Well, once again, Macron is 0-for-2. No, patriotism is not the opposite of nationalism, and nationalism is not a betrayal of patriotism necessarily by saying our interests first, who cares about the others. let's state what is actually the case here. Maybe we can have a copy of this sent to the French embassy. You know, they might want to forward it to their alleged leader. Nationalism is our interests first, although we do care about others. We care about their fate. We care about their interests, either in cooperation with or competition with ours, and we do care about their opinion. The point of it is we do not worship their opinion. We do not bow down and slobber regarding their opinion. We care. We in particular care when their opinion is misguided, and we must work with them. And when you work with someone whose opinions are misguided, in order to continuously working effectively with them, you got to pretty much deal in some kind of corrective action. Otherwise, they're working, they think, with you, when in fact they are working at cross purposes, okay? Yes, our interests first. That's right. That's right. It's a hierarchy. Our interests first. Do we have other interests as well? Yes, we do. We have the interests of our dealings with other countries regarding trade. We have interests regarding our dealings with other countries as regards the issue of common defense, the most important one. That's why NATO exists and why, by the way, the people who have done the most to try and strengthen NATO are the nationalists from the United States, not the parasites from France, the people who have led the way in not paying their way. Let's not forget that NATO members all agreed that 2% of their gross domestic product would go toward self-defense, and only the United States, Poland, and a couple of others have even done that. So there's an area, again, where Emmanuel Macron is a little short of a full deck. Nothing about this current discussion on nationalism erases what a nation holds dearest, what gives it life, what makes it grace, and what is essential, its moral values. In point of fact, most commonly, you will find those moral values being dug at and ripped at by the same elitist, internationalist, globalist viewpoints. So that's a third basis by which Emmanuel Macron is wrong. And as I say, the first response to this probably ought to be, who cares? But I mention it because you're going to be hearing this from the American left. Oh, the President of the United States, blah, 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 and has been ripped by the leader of France. And you must understand that any European leader is sort of a holy grail to an awful lot of the left in this country. Somehow Europe is the moral high ground. We can look at that as well a bit later on. But suffice it to say, I just saw that this morning, and I thought it deserved mention. The president of France does not like Donald Trump or other nationalists. Boo-hoo. Checking out the text line this morning, you early texters. Jimbo Macron, president of France, who we were talking about a moment ago, Jimbo Macron, who wants to be emperor of Europe, has no business lecturing the president of the nation that saved Europe from itself twice. Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah, I was just going to get around to that. We had this lecture about how evil nationalism is, coming from a person who is the president of France and who isn't speaking German and who is still alive by virtue of this country, not once, but twice. Okay, and let's not forget, too, that our efforts in Vietnam were the legacy of how the French messed that up when I was in Vietnam about half a mile from our main base. The first half of my year there was an old French fort, a constant reminder of what they managed to drag us into for a third time. So all important factors. Another texter, French president used the 100th anniversary of the U.S. saving their ass from Germany to criticize the U.S. Only a frog would be so ungrateful. So it would seem. Carl in Simpsonville, I believe, provided that. Or no, actually, Carl did another text, but that's okay. We give you full credit here on the Tara Show. But that's an important point. We bailed out the French 100 years ago. We bailed out the French again, of course, in World War II in the 1940s. And after that, let's not also forget the Marshall Plan. After World War II, Europe was devastated. Many of the French, of course, who had in some cases collaborated with the Germans, not all, many courageous in the French resistance, to be sure. But France was, along with the rest of Europe, was on its back, and the United States bailed its butt out. Now, we did not do so entirely altruistically, I would agree. We didn't want Joe Stalin's communists marching all the way to the English Channel. And thanks to the United States and the Marshall Plan and NATO, in point of fact, they did not. And again, as I say, that was partially in self-interest. But for Pete's sake, what did we get back from that? Well, we got a lot of lip. That's mostly what we got back. And the lack of gratitude is pretty chillingly remarkable. Let's see here. Who cares what the French say? We have had to bail them out of three wars now, World Wars I, II, and Vietnam. Enough of our blood has been spilled on their behalf. Certainly, we have a serious problem with a, quote, ally who does not meet the defense standards that it helped bring about, does not meet the standards that it agreed to. That is 2% of gross domestic product minimum for national defense. France is one of those not meeting that. Oh, and one other thing about the comment of one of the texters, Jimbo Macron, who wants to be emperor of Europe. Good luck with that. And look, the Germans are going to call the shots in Europe. They're by far the biggest factor, the biggest population, the biggest economy, which in and of itself, if you think about it, is kind of interesting. The Germans fought World War II, well, for bigger objectives, to be sure, but part of it was simply the fact that they wanted to pretty much run the economy of Europe. The Japanese fought World War II on the pretext of a greater East Asia co-prosperity sphere, as they put it. And, of course, both countries lost. And today, Germany dominates a Europe that is under the European Union. And Japan, of course, is the economic giant of a good portion of East Asia. They certainly were from about, say, the 70s, certainly till, say, about 2000. Now they share that title with the Chinese. But I've always said that the lesson, I suppose, of World War II is that the Toyota is mightier than the sword, be that as it may. Let's see. Hey, Jim, I have a French World War II rifle for sale. It's never been shot and only dropped once. Oh, cute. I like that. And a texter, Alan in Greer, says, I agree with you 100%, but I do give them a small credit on World War I as they did help us with our revolution, our war from Britain. That's true. That's true. If you want to extend your gratitude past a century, that's true. The French did help us out in our American Revolution. Quite correct. Quite correct. Which is ironic, I suppose, in that it is the French monarchy, as anti-democratic a group as existed on the planet back then, the French monarchy is what bailed us out in the Revolutionary War. And in fact, which is ironic because the forces set loose by our revolution were the forces which spread and then raised to the level of a malignancy, tore down the French monarchy and much of French society in the French Revolution, which was a terrible, tragic, comic version of our own revolution. Whereas the democratic French, they're the ones who can't seem to meet the standards of self-governance and recognizing true allies. All right, for what it's worth. I wanted to pass that around to all this morning because you're going to be hearing about it. All the liberal media and politicians will once again put down the United States and its leader for being too nationalist. Too nationalist. Well, I'm sorry, but in this day and age, folks, your choices are between nationalism and anarchy. We live in a world of nation states. It is how the world is set up. It's possible that could change in another century or two. I'm not sure that would necessarily be good because we don't, after all, have a common vision of how the world should be run. We are not one people. We do not hold hands. We do not sing Kumbaya. The nation state is the buttress of human society right now, just as things smaller than that, tribalism, for example, in places like much of the Arab world, that is ripping those societies to pieces. Nationalism, for all of its flaws, and it has some, nationalism is all that stands between mankind and anarchy and end of civilization, things which Emmanuel Macron and similar globalist pinheads ought to keep in mind. Folks were texting up a storm this morning. We were talking a bit about the bad manners shown by the president of France. Is that an oxymoron? No, not an oxymoron. That's a redundancy. That's what that is. Bad manners shown by the president of France. Let's see. The French bailed us out big time in the Revolutionary War, but that is no excuse for Macron being a moron. Succinctly put, Texter, yes. Or this one. The French army is taught to march backwards so it doesn't look like they're retreating. That's very cute. Okay. Anyway, I couldn't help noticing Lee Rogers mentioning the Benton Blount story, which I think is interesting because it has ramifications possibly for all of us. And if you weren't listening, you didn't catch that story. But again, of course, Benton Blount, guy who acquitted himself quite well on America's Got Talent, and on Election Day, he posted a Facebook photo which showed him wearing a Make America Great Again red hat and holding up from Chick-fil-A a drink and a sandwich, chicken sandwich of some sort. And he is wearing an I Just Voted button. Okay. Now, that did not meet community standards from Facebook. Okay. What community are they from? I Just Voted does not meet community standards? Well, no, that wasn't what they meant. No, what they meant was that his support of the person who won the presidency doesn't meet community standards. I'm not sure that they would actually come out and say that if cornered, but that's what they meant. Ostensibly, they do support the right to vote. They just don't support the right of everybody to win. You have a right to vote as long as you vote the way they want you to. But now that's interesting. Make America Great Again, okay? Does that violate community standards? I mean, that's what the Democrats say they want, to make America great again. They just think it should be done by means of more taxes, regulation, and stalling the rapidly growing economy. But although Donald Trump preempted the slogan, that is what the Democrats say they want. They want to make America great again. Now, I grant you they have a pretty weird way of trying to bring that about, but that's what they want. So it can't be the cap, can it? So, okay, the Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A? Okay, we had that little run-in with Chick-fil-A a while back, and since that time it's become a metaphor for conservative viewpoints. That violates community standards? Again, I would have to ask the good people of Facebook, what community are you talking about? And, of course, the I Just Voted sticker. Well, obviously, that's nasty. Of course, how dare you vote, especially if you're conservative. How dare you vote? 19 now before 7 a.m. on the Tara Show with Jim Bohannon here. So, Benton Blount got suspended from Facebook for violating community standards. And then, of course, he showed up at his gig to be opening act on the ZZ Top guitarist Billy Gibbons concert tour and was told he's been kicked off of that as well. So, I'm just noting that various people are paying different prices for their support of conservative viewpoints. Very few of us, of course, have had our front door cracked in by fascist thugs like Tucker Carlson of Fox News did. And again, the chilling, tragic irony that people who call themselves anti-fascist are using tactics that any of Hitler's brown shirt thugs would recognize from the 20s and 30s. And they're too stupid to even see the irony. So, I have personally lost a couple of friends. I'm pretty sure that I've lost them by virtue of this election campaign. And I find that unfortunate. My policy toward my friends, and who include a few liberals as well, has always been, if we cannot get along on the issues of the day, then don't talk about them. I mean, I'm talking about lifelong friends here. I'm talking about people I've known since I was a little kid. Now, if our disagreement over policies of the day actually settled the issue, if my friends and I disagreeing decided whether or not we were going to have socialized medicine or too much regulation or what have you, my response would be, well, I miss the friendship, but this is too important. The country is at stake. But what my friends and I say about this election or this campaign or the personalities and policies does not affect anything but our own relationship. It's not worth it. It's always been my policy. Avoid politics. And my friends, for the most part, go along. They say, right, okay, we don't agree, but we're still friends. And mostly we are. And the ones I've lost, I suppose, in a way, just might be what we might call vetting of friendship. Maybe it was never meant to be. If I have friends who are that petty, that perhaps I'm better off without them. I must confess I don't feel that way. But we may all pay some prices out there. I'll guarantee you, even in an area as conservative as the upstate, there are places out there and groups out there where if you were in your face about your political views, if you went around with your red MAGA cap on all the time, you would not be welcome. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. I don't put bumper stickers on my car, and I certainly don't do it these days, because that's a great way to get your car vandalized. I just don't do it. I'll make my views known here and in other places I deem appropriate, but you know, I put a lot of money into that car, even though it's getting a little age on it. So, another texter calls in with this one. Good morning, Jimbo and Lee. Why is Louis Farrakhan still up on Facebook, Twitter, and every other social media avenue that they can find? Well, that's because you understand that he is both a person of color and also a Muslim, and therefore he is above reproach. You see, I'm explaining the politically correct here to you, texter, because obviously you don't understand. You're probably a racist, xenophobic conservative. But no, if you are a person of color and you are a Muslim, you cannot be criticized. And if you criticize them for anything, even what they actually said and did, then you're racist, Islamophobic, xenophobic, probably homophobic too, even though I don't think Farrakhan is homophobic, since that can get you killed in the Islamic faith in some places on this planet. We were noting the Benton Blount story, and one texter noted regarding his Facebook post, I think it wasn't the picture itself, but the comment that went along with the picture. He says people would be offended by the picture, which could be interpreted by the FBI, by Facebook rather, as intending to offend, which could violate terms of service. Not saying they're right, just that seems to be their reasoning. I suspect it is. The exact text that that Benton put on his picture, wearing the Make America Great Again red hat and wearing the I Just Voted sticker and holding up the Chick-fil-A container and what is, I'm sure, a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich of some kind. The caption reads, "Someone reading this just got offended multiple times. My work here is done. Hashtag vote." Yeah, I suspect you're right, texter, that is exactly what was at work there. In other words, by that reasoning, which I suspect is Facebook's, I could put online love and peace and understanding and cuddling fuzzy puppies. This may offend someone. And the Facebook people would say, oh, it may offend someone. Well, that is your intention with that fuzzy puppy there. You're probably right. That would be their definition of offending community standards. Okay. Regarding my comments on the president of France here, if a president does not have a nationalist twist, he does not have a country. That is the definition of his job. Otherwise, he's a globalist trying to destroy his country. Well, to a certain extent, that's exactly what Emmanuel Macron is doing in France. Certainly, more and more European nation sovereignty is being eroded by the European Union. And more, you are seeing unelected bureaucrats in Brussels, that is the capital of Europe, if you will, calling the shots on all kinds of national policies. And more than one country, by the way, more than the British, have thought about Brexit, of pulling out of the European Union. And before it's over with, more than one may, in fact, go ahead. Now, I will give the European Union credit for having been fairly good for their economy, and I'll give them credit, except for the regulation part, but I'll give them credit as well for tying together a continent which has, of course, been very fractious over the centuries. The place that gave us the Hundred Years' War and two massive world wars in the 20th century. And yeah, they do seem to have, for the moment, put that behind them, but they're paying a price for it, okay? And yes, I think the texture is quite correct that Emmanuel Macron is doing all he can to see to it that the country of France is eroded down to nothing more than a province of some bureaucrats in Brussels. I'm not sure that was really what they had in mind when the first European steel and coal community was founded back over half a century ago. Okay, this is a good text here. Jimbo, the unspoken part about Farrakhan, and you don't have to, and I bet you will, is that they are afraid of his friends and following. Well, yeah, that's true. There's no question about that in the case of Farrakhan and any others out there. There's no doubt about the fact that if you are violent enough and contentious enough, you suddenly meet every community standard they have at Facebook. That would be by virtue of the fact that they lack any guts whatsoever. That's true. Absolutely. We don't want some thug coming to Facebook and kicking in our door. That's a fact, which is unfortunate. Anytime you have forces in society which reward violent behavior, well, what do you get when you reward anything? You get more of it. That's right. That's exactly what you get. You get more of it. So an unfortunate circumstance. And anyway, I just find the whole circumstance to be bizarre and unfortunate. We will come back and take a look at what's happening in the recounts in the next half hour. And a bit later on, at some point, we'll be giving a shout-out to Lee Rogers in the 106.3 WORD newsroom. Always fun to chat with Lee on air as well. But I just note the fact that I have lost two friends, and I'm wondering if you have as well, just by virtue of this campaign. And a recognition of the fact that although most of us tend to travel in circles that are reasonably friendly to us, but I'll guarantee you that even in relatively conservative upstate areas, there are places you could go with a Make America Great Again cap and holding a drink from Chick-fil-A, just as Benton Blount did. There are places in the upstate where you would not be welcome. In many cases, maybe people would be too courteous not to say anything, but they'd be saying, look at the racist conservative jerk over there. Or in other places, they just get in your face. It's a fact.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.